Welcome to That's Not How a Baby Sleeps, the podcast where parenting meets hilarity. I'm your host, Alicia Daishon, and I've got the fantastic Eleni Katsinis as my co-conspirator in all things baby and toddler sleep. We're not your average sleep consultants, no cry it out nonsense or sleep training at all for that matter.
Hey.
Hi.
How was your weekend?
Good. It was good. How was yours?
It was good. You guys have a bunch of stuff going on this weekend, right? It's Dave's birthday tomorrow, and then you have Nora.
Yep, we have Dave's birthday is on Wednesday, so we're doing something for his birthday tomorrow, and then Nora's birthday is on Sunday. She'll be four.
Oh my goodness. What are you guys doing for Nora's birthday?
It's crazy. We have a couple things going on throughout the weekend, but Sunday we'll have like a smaller family party.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Do you like to go all out for birthdays, or are you more like
we have in the past, but you know, just financially it's too much. So like this year we're like, we'll have a smaller party. Like I'll definitely do decorations, whatever dessert she wants. She wants brownies, cupcakes, donuts, ice cream cakes. She wants it all. So I'll just like do that throughout the whole weekend, you know, for her. And then yeah. I have a couple things. Like we're gonna play with a friend on Friday. We have another family thing one day, you know. So like it's gonna be like a whole weekend celebration for her birthday. So she's
which they like, it's nice when it kind of drags on for them.
Exactly.
Birthday week extravaganza. Yeah. I know.
But I think I'll like surprise her like Sunday morning. Like I'll decorate the house. Like we'll have her presents for her. She wants a bike. So I think we'll just like put the bike down there.
We did a bike for four as well.
Yeah. Cause we had, you ever heard of those balance bikes?
Yeah. Yeah. We have one for Luna.
She has a balance bike, like a bigger balance bike she got for Christmas or last birthday. And she liked it. I just heard such great reviews about it. Like if they do the balance bike, they can go straight to like a two wheeler. And she doesn't love it. She's like, Mom, I want a bigger bike with training wheels.
I want a pedal. And,
yeah. She wants to pedal. She's like, I want a bike with a pedal. I'm like, okay, we'll get you that. Like I thought the balance bike was going to be a hit, but she doesn't like it as much.
We kind of messed up with the balance bike because we got Luna one. Aylin has a pedal bike that we got her when she was four. Cause I didn't do a lot of research on that, but for Luna, we were like, oh, let's get our balance bike. So we got one that has like three wheels. So like it's got the front and then the two wheels on the back, but it converts to like a balance bike, except we can't find the conversion kit. Like when we bought it, we put it somewhere and we have no idea where it is now. So now she's just like walking and like is like totally ready for a balance bike, but we just cannot find the conversion kit. And I looked online and I can't get one. It's like, it just comes with the bike. I don't know. So we're keeping our eyes peeled for that, but we might have to figure out something else and just sell this one. But yeah. So often it can feel like you are the only mom with a toddler who still wakes up at night. There is a huge misconception around what normal toddlers sleep and behavior looks like. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We've asked our community to send in some questions about what is normal when it comes to toddler sleep. So we're just going to go through those questions to give you guys some insight and hopefully ease your mind a little bit. So first question we had, I think this is a pretty standard one. Is it normal for my 13-month-old to still wake 2 to 3 times a night? Yeah, it's still very common. Of course, there are some toddlers who are sleeping that nice 10, 12 hours straight by 13 months, but there are still a lot of toddlers that still wake up at night. My 2.5, I think she's almost 2.5, my 2.5 year old will sleep through the night, but she will still, the majority of the time, wake up at some point and fall into bed with us. And it's honestly something that I don't really notice it anymore because she just climbs into bed. I don't have to get out of bed. I don't lose any sleep. I don't stress about it anymore. I mean, I never really did because she was my second born, but it's just not something that we stressed about this time around. But yeah, she still wakes up once a night. And I think if I was a first time mom, I might be worried about that. And I didn't have this information around toddler sleep, and I might be trying to figure out how to fix the one wake up a night. And I know we've worked with families at this age who are like, hey, my 2.5-year-old still wakes up at night. I want to eliminate this wake up. But I know in our situation, it's just not really a big deal. Everyone still gets the sleep that they need. She will wake up and, you know, crawl into bed and instantly go back to sleep. So it's definitely not a concern. And my oldest, she consistently slept through the night, I would say probably from like 12, 13 months, like 12 hours straight. She was a dream. Not in the beginning, but she was a dream. And now I was like, she's not even a preschooler, a kindergartner. She will rarely wake up, but she still will often want to start the night in our bed. And she might come into bed around like 6 a.m. sometimes if she spent the night in her own room. It just really kind of depends. There are many reasons that toddlers will wake up at night, or young children. They're seeking connection. They might not be set up for optimal sleep. It really just kind of depends. But if your child is waking like really frequently, I'd say, you know, if they're still waking up every 1 to 2 hours all night long, we would want to get to the root of why that's happening. But if your child is waking up a couple times a night, quickly resettling, going back to sleep, it's really not something to be concerned about. Of course, there are some probably some tweaks that we can make to improve that, but if you're okay with wake ups, then it's totally fine. And I mean, Nora sleeps through the night most of the time, but
yes, you know, occasionally. Knock on wood, she does. I feel like every time we talk about how good sleep is going, we jinx it. But yeah, yeah. She was starting to sleep through the night, maybe around like 16 months old, but then she like maybe for a little bit, and then it fell apart, and then was good again, and fell apart. You know, I think that's the thing we always remind clients, is to remember that sleep is not linear in the first couple years of life. Like, yeah, a 13-month-old waking up a couple times a night is normal, of course. And then even like a 3-year-old waking up a couple times a night could be normal. But like you said, we get to the root cause of those wake-ups. Like, yes, it is normal, but why are they waking up? And if it's like a bad wake-up, a long wake-up, if they're scared, like there's so many reasons behind the wake-up. And I think that's like what we have to determine if it's normal or not normal, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. And I think too, and I know this is why you prefer working with toddlers and sleep. There's a lot less sleep science-y issues with it. Sometimes they drop the nap. I mean, if there are any sleep science issues, it's usually minor tweaks of like, hey, the nap might be a tiny bit too long. You might have to tweak the wake window a little bit. Usually they're on, you know, one nap or sometimes no nap. So it's, you know, usually minor tweaks that we can make to kind of improve things. But a big part of toddler sleep has to do with that separation and that attachment relationship and stuff. And I know that's kind of the area that you really like to focus on when working with families.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's like I love it. It's my favorite. Like, just, I mean, obviously all ages, you have to work on that connection and attachment. It's important, you know, from newborn till how old they are, 5, 6, how old they are. But I do love really thinking about that connection and that attachment piece with toddlers, and like bridging that separation, because it's so important. And that's usually what they're struggling with, I feel like, when they're older. Like, my 2-year-old's waking up at night. Why? Okay. Well, think about your day. How was your day? How was bedtime? How did bedtime go? Are you going through anything? Are you going through a big transition, a big change? You know, and then they're like, huh, yeah, I guess I am. And like, really tune into that, and like, tune into your child. Like, they're calling out to you or waking up for a reason. They're not waking up just to, hey mom, I'm waking up to annoy the crap out of you. Like, there's always a reason behind the wake up.
Absolutely.
And I feel like just really getting to the root of that, especially with toddlers, and even just like talking to them about it, or like, you know, depending on your child's temperament. Like, we just went through, we'll get more into bedtime battles, but I can share recently what we just went through with Nora. We had like a couple weeks of really bad bedtimes, like just not, she's not settling. She's really struggling to go to sleep, like being really goofy and just not listening. I'm getting frustrated, just like, you know, rinse, cycle, repeat, like every night over and over again. I'm like, oh, this is so exhausting. And then I'm like, I sit back and I really like, obviously take my own advice. What's going on? You know, like, go through the list of bedtime battles. Why is this happening to us? And I was like, she is feeling disconnected, and she is seeking attention from us in a, you know, her attention seeking behavior. So the one day I just like spend all day with her every day, but how am I spending my time with her? Right. I'm working on my phone. I'm working on my laptop. Like, there's a million things that I should or should not be doing with her. So like, I really focus on that connection. She fell asleep so fast and easy. She slept all night. The next morning, she was so happy. Like, not that she doesn't fall asleep if we're having those battles, it just takes longer.
Yeah.
I get more frustrated. I get dysregulated. Like, it's just like a cycle. And I just can't, like, it took one day to do that. Just one day for me, in my experience. You know, I'm like, she's so sensitive that a disconnection with us, or like, it really affects her. Like, if I'm stressed, she'll be stressed and she'll feel my stress. So it's like, I'm not trying to tell parents like, stop being stressed. Of course you're going to be stressed because you have children, but just like, really tune into what's going on in your life, and like, why are they having these struggles? And, you know, just like I said, like, connection is so big. And you can really like solve a bedtime battle with just that. It's a huge one, I think, when it comes to toddler sleep.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a huge component of the issues and stuff that we see, and looking at just the bigger picture, because I think a lot of the time we're preoccupied with the times of bedtime. Like, it's 8 o'clock. She should be asleep right now. Like, go to bed. Why aren't you
Yeah.
going to bed? And you're really not looking at the bigger picture and what might be going on with your child. And I agree, like, a lot of the time too, it can be, just life transitions that you would not even really think about. Like, you don't realize that this attachment stuff and the separation and stuff that they might be feeling, it goes hand in hand with sleep. Sleep 10 to 12 hours away from your parents, even if you are bed sharing or having the child sleep in the same room as you, is still separation for them. And they are going to struggle with that overnight for sure. And just focusing on bridging that. Like, we had definite issues around like kindergarten transition. My daughter had eye surgery last fall. We've been actually having some struggles recently. My husband pointed out too that she's been very like nurturing with her like baby dolls. She's going through this whole phase where she's never had an attachment really to like stuffed animals or anything. She could kind of care less about items, but she's bringing these dolls with her like in the car now and buckling them in. And now we have to sit there and wait for her to buckle. Like, she's been taking Belle from Beauty and the Beast, buckling her up and putting her down for naps and putting her down for bedtime and reminding me to check on her and like all of these things. And we're like, okay, she's just her imagination. Like, it's whatever. But my husband mentioned like maybe she's trying to like communicate that she like needs this nurturing, that more nurturing, because bedtime has definitely been a battle lately. And we really struggle on, it was Sunday night last night. We struggle on Sundays because it's the end of the weekend. She knows she has to go back to school. That separation kind of sets in. And she really, really struggles to go to bed on Sunday. And last night, it's been kind of nice because Luna's been going to bed early. We can talk about that in a minute. But she was struggling at bedtime, and we had been downstairs hanging out with her, doing one-on-one time, and we realized it doesn't matter as much with her. It's like we can have do all the connection time and stuff. She's still going to struggle at bedtime because she's still anticipating the week of separation that is ahead. And she was crying, and Lane scooped her up and we're like, you can sleep in our bed tonight, that's fine. And he goes to lay down with her, and I was just kind of grabbing the blanket to get her comfortable, and I went to leave. She goes, mommy, can you stay too? So we like both laid down in bed with her, and she was just crying, and then eventually she fell asleep and stuff. And Lane said yesterday, he's like, can we try something for a week? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, can we both try to lay down with her for bedtime this week and just see if there's any change in this? So we're actually going to start doing that for this whole week and kind of see how things are going. But I think it really is important to tune into your kiddos, and there is an underlying reason for all of that. We've really been noticing she's struggling with her younger sister. Anything that, if we're doing something with Luna, she's right in there too. Like, oh, me too. Can you do that with me too? And she's just been really having a hard time with that. And we're so guilty for it because Luna's at that age where she's doing all these like adorable, cute things, and she's like a little parrot right now and copies everything her sister does. And like we're always constantly like, oh my gosh, like getting all excited about what Luna's doing. But like when we talk about Aelin, it seems like we talk about her a lot when she goes to bed, about how wonderful she is and how she's just so sweet and kind and the best big sister ever. But I think we really need to start talking like about her more in front of her, like all those really positive things. And I think that is also really beneficial. But we're human beings, and we all go through it. But yes, it's really common for a toddler or kindergartner or preschooler to still struggle at bedtime and wake up at night and struggle with bedtime separation and stuff. Obviously, there's progressions in the toddler years that can play into some of these sleep battles, but a lot of the time it seems like it is mainly kind of that connection time that they're seeking.
For sure. And with those milestones, they're going through development. In like 12 months, you'll have a big spike of separation anxiety. They're probably walking, learning how to talk more. And then 18 months comes, and then 2 years comes. So you're still dealing with those
Yeah.
progressions. Like, it's not like a year and then you're like, all right, I'm done. They're done learning. Like, no, they are learning even more, I feel like,
Totally.
throughout the year to 2 years, and then even a little bit after that, because
I was
that
gonna say, yeah, after that too.
language.
We've been seeing that more too with Luna. Like, I'm like, oh, you kind of think, okay, 2 year sleep progression or developmental progression, as we like to call it. I'm done now. This is great. She's 2.5. And I'm like, oh, you're still going through these like progressions because she's still developing. But I think we just stop
Exactly.
talking about it after 2 years. It's still normal for the development to kind of continue going, obviously. And you still see little hiccups and stuff with sleep, bedtime battles, nap battles, stuff like that. So very normal for sure. For bridging that separation, Eleni has some really great options that she does.
You always want to focus on the next connection. You never want to dwell in the separation. Like, you are going to sleep, I'm going to my bed, you need to go to sleep for 10 hours by yourself. Like, never ever dwell on that separation, because it's gonna, you know, totally spike that separation anxiety. They're gonna cling to you more. Like, it's gonna, you know, you're gonna see that bedtime battle. Talk about things you're going to do in the morning. You know, let's, even before the bedtime routine, you can set the table with your toddler or preschool or a young child. Like, let's set the table for breakfast in the morning. You can put a special book under the pillow to read in the morning. Oh, come bring this to mommy when you wake in the morning. Me and Nora lay together and we talk about our dreams, like what dreams we're going to dream that night. You know, and she always asks me, can I come in your dream? Do you want to come in my dream? And, you know, sleep with your t-shirt, sleep, you know, put the t-shirt on the pillow if they're old enough to do so. A really cute one that we hear about is those little hearts, like cutting out little paper hearts and putting them in the bowl next to their bed, you know, throughout the night. When you check on them throughout the night, you tell them that you're checking on them throughout the whole night to make them feel better, you know, just dump the rest of the hearts and then they see it in the morning.
They checked on you. Yeah,
exactly. Or even like tie. Yes, it's a visual thing. And you can even like tie an invisible string or a real string from like their bedroom door to your door. You know, like it's kind of like your heart strings together, like all of these different things that you can think about. You can be creative. A big thing I do too, or other families have done, a special connection box right before bed, you know, like only something that you take out before bed with your child. It can be during your bedtime routine or before your bedtime routine, like during the wind down routine, like a special puzzle you do with them, special book, special like quiet activity, whatever it is, just a special connection time between you and your child. That can be with your partner, without, just to really like tune into your child's needs during
that
time.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. And you could even do like, I'm just thinking of like photos, you know, like having some type of photo book of like baby pictures, things like that, you know, to really like help your child see how important they are and connecting on that aspect.
Yeah.
And really help with bedtime. I might do that. That's a really good idea.
Or even just like family photos too. They can even like hold on to a family photo of you guys if you want. I mean, like under their pillow or near them, whatever. Just think about like really honing in on that connection time between you guys, and like no distractions. Don't have your phone at bedtime. Like, even put your phone away like hours before bedtime if you can. Just like really tune into them and connect with them, because they will, I promise you, you will see that like lights a, you know, switch in their brain, and like they just feel that love. Of course you love your child and you connect with them throughout the day, but like really think about how you are doing it, and right before bedtime really makes a difference, I think, with bedtime separation for sure.
Absolutely. And like the phrase that I constantly say at bedtime, which is just what I should not be saying, is just go to sleep, just go to sleep, just please go to sleep.
I know, because we're
and
so
that just
exhausted.
Focuses on that separation.
On the separation, for sure. I know, it's so tiring. I know, you can just talk about like, oh, I can't wait to go to the park with you in the morning. I can't wait to, you know, whatever you're going to do the next day. And it depends on your child's temperament. If they're very active, they might get super silly and wild. It might wind them up. Like, you know your child best, like whatever. Yeah. Whatever you have to do. But like you said, don't just say like, just go to sleep. Like, I know, we trust us. We feel you guys. Like, we're in the same boat. We're exhausted. We want our kids to go to sleep, but like they will just cling to you harder if you focus on that separation. Just really try to bridge that separation with more connection. And it really makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. We talked about like last night, we were focusing on the next connection, and we were talking about like, I was like, what do you want for breakfast in the morning? And I was like, mommy, and she goes, crepes, because my husband, he used to be a chef, so he always makes these. He made them yesterday morning. She'd already had them. She's like, I want crepes. And he does crepes, and he does blueberries rolled up inside of them, and he does whipped cream, hand whipped cream, and then put sprinkles on top. She's a spoiled monkey. but she said that last night. I was like, well, your dad's gonna be at work in the morning. I'm like, but you can have like a blueberry bagel with cream cheese, and I can put sprinkles on that. She's like, really? Is that good? I'm like, probably.
Everything's so going to sprinkles.
Yeah, I was like, everything's going to sprinkles. So we did that this morning, and I gave the girls both that with sprinkles, and Luna just sat there picking the sprinkles out of the cream cheese. And it was a good morning. As good as it can be on a Monday. But yeah, definitely nice to add those extra little bits of connection to help bridge that separation that they might be feeling when we are trying to separate with them for 10 to 12 hours. Overnight. Mm-hmm. We did have a question about my toddler has been fighting bedtime lately and sometimes naps too. Is this normal? Yes, as we just mentioned, it's very normal. Some of the really common reasons that we'll see bedtime battles are undertiredness, overtiredness. They'll be restless and just have difficulty settling. That can sometimes be related to medical stuff like low iron, underlying sleep issues like sleep apnea, snoring, mouth breathing, stuff like that. So definitely something to look at if you haven't investigated those yet. Feeling disconnected, which we just kind of covered. Too much separation, covered that one already, but also lack of boundaries and limits. Toddlers love to push boundaries and limits. Dr. Neufeld refers to this as counter will, but essentially they are meant to push back and push those boundaries, and they are not meant to listen to people that they are not attached to. And unfortunately, during this transitional period, they push those boundaries with you, which makes sleep very, very tricky. And we'll see a lot of the time children trying to really dictate the bedtime routine. No, I'm going to do this before I do that. I'm not going to do that at all. One more glass of water, one more story, all that kind of stuff. So it is really important to have kind of strict bedtime routine in place, so that you can make sure that from an attachment aspect, you are still in the caregiver role, your child's still in the dependent role, you are holding those boundaries and limits, supporting emotions that come with those boundaries and limits.
Obviously you are the caregiver and you are in charge, you know, during the bedtime routine, but try to, with a toddler, you always want to think about those power struggles you're going to have with them. Like, yes, you are in charge, you're the parent, but think about that you can create that bedtime routine chart with them. Like, mm-hmm. you know, this is the order it's going to go in. We're going to put it this way. So they feel like they have a little bit of control, because toddlers, especially at that 2-year mark, like they feel out of control. And that's why they're like testing those limits, like see what they can get away with and pushes those boundaries, because they want to do everything themselves. they want that little bit of independence, but they're definitely pushing you. So we started that with Nora, like a nice bedtime chart, and it really helped. We definitely kind of fell off the wagon with it a little bit, but she still knows like her routine. Like she understands that we do this and this and this, and then we do that, but I'll let her like pick out her pajamas, you know, like she understands we do pajamas after teeth, but she can pick them out. Mm-hmm. We only read 3 books, but she can pick her books, and she knows like I will not read 5 books because we established 3. It probably sounds so silly to people hearing this, like, wow, like what a big deal, like you have to make them read 3 books. Like you have to think about setting these little boundaries are so important. Even just like saying, no, I'm going to stick with only 3 books, because the next night they're going to keep pushing it. And you're going to see this, you know, these boundaries being pushed, and then you're going to be in that dependent role as the parent. And they're going to, you know, you're really going to fall into like permissive parenting a little bit. And it's tough to get back. It really is, but you can always get back. I feel like, you know, it's like, you definitely can. So yeah, I feel like that's a big thing with kids. Even if you are the caregiver role, they're still going to push you and try to like put you in that, you know, dependent role. I mean, Nora does it all the time. We definitely do boundaries, but she'll definitely push us because she's just a stubborn, persistent little child.
Yep, they do love to really push those boundaries. It is tricky. And the thing is too, is like if you don't have those boundaries in place, bedtime is going to drag on, you're going to get frustrated, you're just going to be in this vicious cycle of you getting frustrated, dysregulating yourself, which will in turn lead to that feeling of disconnected and just other things wrong with the bedtime routine. Mm-hmm. So keeping those bedtime routines consistent, the children really do thrive off of that predictability. And it doesn't have to be a long, elaborate bedtime routine either. It can just be, you know, 3 or 4 simple things that you do in the exact same order each night and staying consistent around that. So for example, if we have a child who is refusing to brush their teeth, and they're like, no, I want to do my pajamas first. Hold that boundary. We're going to finish brushing our teeth first. You're going to support some emotions, and then we're going to move on to the pajamas. It seems so silly, but it does make a really big impact on that attachment relationship. And we do have a whole bedtime battles document. It's called our bedtime battles blueprint. We will link it in the show notes below. It's free. You can kind of go through that if you are struggling with toddler bedtime battles yourself. Next question. Is it normal for my 15-month-old to still need a night feed? I'm worried about her teeth. So we were actually just talking about this. It is normal for a toddler to still wake up and eat at night. We usually tell that families that kind of the natural night weaning age is usually around 18 months. if daytime nutrition is going well. But depending on your child's sleep association, so if you nurse to sleep, they may still nurse at night past this point if they're waking up and just quickly nursing back to sleep. There obviously are some concerns around teeth. We hear this all of the time. You shouldn't breastfeed at night because it can wreck your child's teeth. This is false. Breast milk actually contains lactoferrin that protects against the strep mutans, the bacteria that cause tooth decay. However, there are other reasons that your child could get tooth decay. A lot of the time it has to do with things like just basic dental hygiene. It's really hard to brush a toddler's teeth. They will fight you on it. Sometimes I do feel like I'm literally pinning Luna down while I'm trying to brush her teeth. We do try to make it into a fun game. I know with my oldest, we are always like, oh, we're brushing cats out of your mouth. And be like, brush, 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 meow, meow, meow. And she loved it. She thought it was funny. Luna with this kind of hit or miss with her. Mm-hmm. She's like, there's not dogs in her mouth. You're ridiculous. Like, what are you doing? But other times she's really good about it. So we do really try to stay on top of it. But yes, so basic dental hygiene can be a little bit of an issue. Another thing too is sharing utensils with your child, or that thing where parents will pop a passy in their mouth and then put it in their child's mouth. Our mouths are full of bacteria that will cause tooth decay in our children's mouth. Right? The bacteria is different in a child's mouth versus an adult's mouth. So it is not a good idea to be doing any of those things. I feel like a lot of parents don't know this, but yeah, I know bottle rot is an issue. So obviously with like formula fed babies, ideally, yeah, like that kind of stuff can cause tooth decay. But if we're looking at a breastfeeding mom, no, technically breast milk does not cause tooth decay. It is not the reason. Another thing too, is like when you're breastfeeding, you're able to kind of control the flow, right? With bottles, it's just going to kind of continue to drip. So if we have a bottle sitting in baby's mouth, you can have pooling and stuff, and then we get things like bottle rot. And I guess this, it would be kind of similar if you were pumping. However, again, breast milk doesn't alone cause tooth decay, so I wouldn't be hugely concerned about it, but still something to be mindful of for sure. It is acceptable after 12 months to night wean. However, there are a lot of factors that you want to take into consideration. Daytime feeds, what does that look like? How is daytime nutrition going? Those are huge components of night weaning. If your toddler's waking up at night and still taking a full nighttime feed, they are likely legitimately hungry. And we want to work on just gradually shifting some of those nighttime calories towards daytime to ensure that we are not letting them go hungry. We do want to make sure that we're feeding our kiddos. And just cut. We're not a huge fan of cutting those nighttime feeds out cold turkey. You could definitely gradually push them and shift it out each night. So if your child wakes up, you can try to resettle them a different way for an hour or so. If they go back to sleep, then you would wait, they would wake up, and you would offer the feed at the next wake up. So there are some options to kind of night wean, but it is still normal for a 15-month-old to still need a nighttime feed. And honestly, we find by about 18 months, if daytime nutrition is going well, they kind of drop it on their own. So if you're really not keen on night weaning and going through that whole emotional process, it seems like too much work. You can probably just kind of wait it out and see where you're at around that 18-month mark and go from there. Okay. So next question, is it normal for them to yell out in their sleep? Like, no, my turn. This one's kind of funny because Aylin actually did this a couple nights ago. Lane came in and she was talking in her sleep, and it was something about like, oh, can we play this time? Can we play this instead? No, can I have a turn now? Like, she was having a whole conversation in her sleep. And this question just made me laugh because we experienced it a couple of nights ago. But yeah, it is really normal as their imagination starts to develop to start to see these kind of dreams, sleep talking. There are obviously situations and stuff where we actually see true like night terrors where your child's screaming in their sleep. I know Lenny's experienced this with Nora. Do you want to talk a little bit about just night terrors?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we started experiencing night terrors. I don't remember the exact age, probably around the 2-year mark, I'd say, because that's usually, I mean, you can see it a little bit earlier, but I feel like that's when it starts to come out because of their imaginations and like their brain is, you know, developing like crazy and everything's starting to come out. Like those scary bad dreams are coming to you, like with nightmares. But there's a big difference between nightmares and night terrors, because nightmares, like, they have like a bad scary dream, like you'll hear them scream, "No, don't take it, it's mine," or whatever, and then they'll wake up and they'll remember the dream. But with night terrors, they're actually not like consciously aware of what's going on. They're in a deeper state of sleep, and when they are waking up from the night terror, they're not even waking up. Like, yes, their eyes might be open, but they aren't conscious of what's going on. So they might be like throwing their arms around, they might be kicking, hitting, they might, like, you are actually a threat to them. You will know the difference between a night terror and a nightmare. Like, night terrors are scary. You literally think, I'm laughing, it's not funny, but like, you think your child's like possessed. Like, that's what they look like. Their cry is like deeper and louder and scary. Like, it's different. So I have experienced a lot of these, and I've learned a lot, because obviously we've realized what triggers Nora and how to avoid that. A lot of triggers are, you know, overtiredness, maybe like a traumatic event that had happened. And obviously sometimes you can't always avoid that, but a lot of screen time really affected her, like right before bedtime. That blue light really affects children's sleep. I mean, it affects adult sleep. So I would try to avoid blue light leading up to bed. Try to have a very calm, relaxing bedtime routine. And sickness, you know, that can affect it, which obviously you can't avoid that either. But with a night terror, like I said, you'll have like your child will wake up and like seem like they're scared and not knowing what's going on. And I would just sit very calmly next to them, offer comfort if they're receiving comfort. Nora never wanted me to touch her. It was very like, don't touch me. And like, she would freak out. And I just knew to sit next to her calmly and just like say, "Mommy's here, you're safe." And just like literally keep repeating that over and over again. And it should stop within 10 to like 20 to 30 minutes. And sometimes they might fully wake up from the night terror if you try to wake them up. Like, you really don't want to wake a child from a night terror, because you're going to freak them out more and it's going to cause a longer wake up. Like, every time I've ever have woken up Nora, because I didn't know what was going on, we were up for like 2 hours and it was hard to get her back to sleep because she was just so disoriented and like totally out of it. So yeah, they don't remember it the next day, which is like traumatizing to you as a parent. They have no idea what happened. It's like not in their conscious control. Like a nightmare, yes, they'll remember it. But a night terror, like Nora just had one the other week. I don't know why she did. I think she was a little overtired. And the next morning I'm like, "Oh, Mommy slept with you. Do you remember that?" She's like, "No." Like, okay, you were like screaming and crying and hitting me. Like, sometimes they even like hit you in a night terror, because like I said, they think you're a threat because they don't know what's going on, you know. So it's like, and it is scary, but just like I said, be calm. They usually grow out of it, I think, around like 4 or 5, 6 years of age. They'll grow out of it, unless like if they're having repeated night terrors every single night at the same time. That's definitely something I would reach out to a doctor, because there's something else going on, you know. Like, you know your child best, you know like what triggers it, but if it's every single night, like there's something else. So I would definitely reach out to like a medical professional.
Absolutely. Do you want to talk about like your very first experience with a night terror? Like, what happened?
Yeah, I have to remember exactly. I don't remember exactly the time or what happened, what was leading up to it.
One of the first ones.
Yeah. I mean, she had to have been in her crib and just like screaming and crying. So I thought she needed me. And I tried to like go in there to like grab her. And she was just like freaking out, like throwing her body around, like kicking, screaming. I'm just like, what's going on? And this is like when she was younger too. And I like had a hard time with co-regulation because I was just so stressed. And I was like, I was crying. Like, Dave was like trying to calm me down. We turned the lights on. It was like insane. So I'm like, what is going on with her? And then we brought her downstairs and she still was so hysterical, like screaming, crying. And at this point she would scream to the point of like, she would scream and cry to the point of like throwing up. So like she's crying and she's throwing up, and then like that woke her up fully. And then she just was up for like hours. Cause I was like, the heck just happened?
Yeah.
And then we went down like the rabbit hole of research of night terrors and like figured it out. That's what it was. Try to like, you know, help her with the next one. And the couple times after that, I definitely was still rough because it was still so scary and new to me. But like with practice and with experience, it got so much easier. I mean, you know, like her night terrors now, if she has one, I go in there, I sit with her for a couple minutes and she like goes back to sleep. And sometimes they're so much shorter because I just like, I'm there calmly and she doesn't have them as much because I know what triggers her. Like, she was just always overtired and I didn't really know how to tune into like her unique sleep needs back then.
Did you find that they happened earlier in the night then, like with the deeper state of sleep?
Yeah, they usually happen 2 to 3 hours, I think, after. So like I knew that, you know, even the nights that it was a rough night or something happened, I'm like, she's about to have one. I just knew. Yeah. Like, she would wake up and have that screaming cry, and like, she's having one. And sometimes, like, if she was in, if your child's in a safe space and they're like just screaming like that, like, it's, I'm, this might sound horrible to some parents, it's okay to just leave them, because you really do make it worse. Like, your presence and like your touch could make it worse for some children. Every child's different. You know your child best, tune into what they need. But like, if I went in there and started touching her and talked to her, I made it worse. I made the night terror longer. I made it more intense. But then like, and then I can just see the switch, just like with, you know, your child in a temper tantrum, you see the switch of mad to sad. Like, I saw the switch, and sometimes she would wake herself up from one. Like, they lasted a couple minutes, and then, mom, where are you? And she'd, you know, call out to me, and I go and give her a hug, and she'd go back to sleep. So
right back to sleep.
Yeah.
It's so nice that they don't remember them, because I mean, you don't remember it, and it's very traumatic
experience. They are, but that's the most positive thing about the nightmare, is they don't remember them.
That's the next question. Is it normal for my child to need help falling asleep when previously they didn't need help falling asleep? So yeah, this is really common to see. A lot of the time it has to do with, again, that separation, those bedtime battles, just feeling disconnected, stuff like that. I think a lot of parents have fears around, well, if I didn't lay with them before, support them to sleep, if I start doing it now, it's going to become a bad habit and I shouldn't do that. The more contact and connection that you add at bedtime, the easier it is going to be for your child to move back into that more independent role. The more you push for that independence is going to make it worse, and your child is going to cling to you more and need more support. So just letting it go, giving your child what they need at that point in time, supporting them fully to sleep is okay. There's nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, 5 years old, still lay with her every single night while she falls asleep. She's never fallen asleep independently. She sleeps through the night. So definitely not an issue. 2 year old, same thing, never fallen asleep independently. We still lay with her every single night. And I know it's the exact same with Nora as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that works for our families, right? Yeah. Like, we enjoy it. We like it. We understand that it doesn't work for every family, but just know that it's not wrong and it's not a bad thing. Like, you hear that all the time. And I feel like at that 2 year mark, especially, like you said, that imagination is running wild, separation peaks. So like, yeah, they might be sleeping great before, or think about the transition at 2 years old. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a push for potty training. There's a push for toddler beds. Like, there's a push. Like, when they're two, they magically have to be independent. That's like, I feel like it's such a push at that age. So like, your child's already going through so much at two, and then you're pushing a lot of things on them. So like, think about that. Like, are you trying to potty train and put them in a toddler bed at the same time? Are you trying?
Yeah, they have to want to be independent.
Yes. Natural independence.
Natural independence. And it seems so silly, but like, I'm always like, just smother them with all of that attention, all that connection. They're going to be like, get away from me. I can do it myself. We see it all the time with 2 year olds. It's like, no, me do. I'm going to do this. They won't let you help with anything. It's annoying. But that is that natural independence coming into play. And the same thing will happen with nighttime sleep when they are ready. I think I've told this story before, but it happened again recently. Aylin said I talked about it last time with like the episode of Bluey where they do a big girl sleep, which I don't like to call it a big girl sleep, but she wanted to fall asleep independently again. And we tried it previously, and it was a huge, I don't want to say fail, but it was just funny. We knew she wasn't going to want to do it, but this time she wanted to have my husband. She's like, I want to try it again. He's like, okay, cool, whatever. You know, this isn't going to work, but that's fine. And she's like, I want you to go into the other room. And this time, because last time she was like, no, I want you to sit in the corner and read a book while I fall asleep by myself. But she had him go into another room. And he's like, oh, weird. And he's like, I didn't hear anything. And he's like, I was going to go back in and check on her kind of thing, but I didn't hear anything. So I waited like for probably like 5 minutes. And he's like, oh, maybe she's asleep. And he goes in there and she's just sobbing. Oh. She's like, I can't stop. I just can't fall asleep, daddy. I can't do it. And he's like, it's okay, honey. Like, but why are you crying? Like, what are you thinking about? She goes, I'm thinking about the Empire. And she's obsessed with Star Wars right now. Like, it's her favorite thing in the whole world. But she meant the Emperor, but she said Empire. So she's like, I'm just thinking about the Empire. And he's like, the whole thing? Like,
It's like those reels about like, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Yeah, literally. Thinking about the empire. He's like, what? It's just so cute, so funny. He's like, oh, you mean the emperor? She's like, yeah, he's just so scary and I can't stop thinking about his face. He's like,
yep.
You don't have to do this. Like, you can fall asleep. Daddy will stay with you. Like, you don't have to do it. And she's like, okay, maybe I'll try tomorrow. He's like, sure, you can try tomorrow. Like, I'll lay down when you go to sleep. And the next day she's telling me about it. She goes, yeah, daddy said we can try again, but I don't think I want to this time. I think I'm just going to try again when I'm six. Like,
okay. Aww, that's so sweet. But like, we have to think about temperament too. Like, our daughters are sensitive and like maybe a more easygoing toddler might be fine with totally. That. You know, it's like if we just were talking about this before, like if we push separation on our girls, backfires on us bad. Mm-hmm. And like it is just gonna really mess with a really sensitive child. Like, mm-hmm. if they're not ready for that separation, don't push it. Like, I know you want your time, I know you want this independent sleep, because I feel like everyone's putting the pressure on you to want it. Maybe it's like they will do it when they are ready.
Absolutely.
And like, you know, like, and it's, there's nothing wrong with laying with your toddler till they fall asleep. Honestly, I feel like you're going to miss it one day. Like, I know the day that Nora's like, I can do it by myself, I'm going to probably cry myself.
I'm going to cry myself to sleep all alone.
It's just like, it goes by fast.
It does go by
so
really
just
fast.
Soak it
and
in.
And I think, soak it in. And I think a huge factor too is like, we talk about this. We're talking about like bedtime taking 10, maybe 15 minutes to get our kids to sleep. Like, we're not laying there for hours and hours. I mean, sometimes I know there's been some bedtime battles lately, but there's a root cause of that. So if it is really taking a long time to get your child to sleep, looking at the root of why that's happening, whether it's that separation, whether they are just struggling, they're overtired, or they're not tired enough. Mm-hmm. One of those things can be the underlying reason. So looking at that before being like, well, it's because I'm laying with them and that I need to eliminate that. It's like, no, there's an underlying reason for all sleep related things. It's just getting to the root of what's actually going on.
Yeah. I feel like with our clients that we work with, I know we mentioned this before, we always see our clients' goals shift. Like, they always say like, I want independent sleep. I want 10 to 12 hours overnight. And then I want to stop bed sharing. And then we help them with those sleep foundations and tweaking that stuff. And they get more sleep. And then the rest of the night that they bed share, or they go sleep with their kid in their room, they're like, I love this. Like, I'm getting some sleep. And like, I don't need the independent sleep anymore. I don't like care for that, because I actually am getting more sleep this way. And they enjoy it. So it's cool to see that shift change, you know,
when because you're taking care of their needs and stuff as well. Like, because a lot of the time when we start working with clients, there's issues that have layered on top of each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we might have some teething, we might have some developmental progressions, but a lot of the time those foundations are just out of whack and they're not set up for optimal sleep. So they're like waking up every 2 hours all night long. And then early morning, they're attached to the boob for 3 hours. And the mom's like, I'm losing my mind. I need some help with this. And it's like, okay, we figure out the foundations. And then you get a longer stretch at the beginning. You have some time to yourself at the beginning of the night. Sleep gets better for the second half of the night. And they're also not attached to your boob for 3 hours in the early morning, because they're actually tired enough to fall asleep and stay asleep. So that improves things. And then it's like, oh, I don't mind the snuggles early morning. Like, that's okay. So it's really cool to see that shift with clients for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like too, I want to mention about like that 2 years old too, with like the big spike of separation anxiety. That's usually where we see a lot of sleep trained families having to re-sleep train their toddlers, because that separation anxiety spikes at that age. And usually, like I said, they're going to a toddler bed. So you have to like try to train your toddler how to stay in their bed. And you know, it's just like all
control
that,
not there yet.
All that stuff is just layering on top and on top. And it's just like with our normal infant sleep, like, it's normal for your toddler to still need you at night. It's normal for them to wake at night. It's normal for an adult to wake at night. You know, it's just like all this stuff is normal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, when we say wakes at night too, we are talking about like a quick resettle. Like, it shouldn't be taking you hours to get your child to sleep. And that leads to our next question. Somebody mentioned, my toddler has started waking up for 1 to 2 hours in the middle of the night. What do I do? So this is common during those developmental progressions when they're meeting developmental milestones, so walking, running, jumping, balancing, language development. It's really common to have those longer wake-ups. As Eleni mentioned, it's common to see that around 12 months, 18 months, 2 years. These are just rough estimates for when we see development. Like, if you can literally look at your child and say, oh, wow, you spewed up a whole bunch of new words this week. Hey, you're learning to do this new physical milestone. and their sleep sucks, that's likely what's going on. Mm-hmm. So if we are seeing those long 1-2 hour middle of the night parties, that a lot of the time is just playing into those developmental milestones. So we usually, you know, if you've tried all your regular resettling to get them back to sleep and it's just not happening, they're wide awake in the middle of the night, usually doing a reset, going into the living room, keeping the lights dim, let them get out whatever they need to get out, and then do a little bit of a reset and then put them back to bed. After that, that can usually shorten the wake up a little bit, instead of sitting in a chair for 2 hours, just rocking them, because then they're not getting any energy out. They're not really building up that sleep pressure. And the wake up can really, really take a long time. Like, get up, make yourself a tea so you can fall back asleep easily once they're done doing whatever they need to do. And then do a little bit of a reset and head off to bed yourself. And usually that'll shorten it up. However, if we are seeing these types of split nights, and they're true split nights, that means that they've been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Usually that is an issue with those foundations, and they're probably not set up for optimal sleep. Daytime sleep totals might be too high. Last wake window might not be long enough. And we have to work on adjusting those things to fuse the night back together. But if it's a few nights, one off, while your kid's clearly going through a progression, then yeah, it is really cool to unfortunately see those really long wake ups in the middle of the night. Next question. Is it normal for my 2-year-old to not need a nap anymore? She sleeps well overnight. So it can be. If you have a very low sleep needs toddler, we're at almost 2.5 and we're a weekend of no nap officially today.
Wow, congrats.
I know, it's so wonderful. We've been going to bed between 8 and 9 at the latest for like a whole week. I'm like a new human. Wow. So wonderful. And I honestly think that the back and forth schedule between daycare, taking a long nap, and the no nap or a very short nap at home really did kind of affect her nighttime sleep and her mood as well. Like, she's just been in such a pleasant mood. She had a 12-hour night the other night, Lenny. When she was doing like an hour, my daycare lady was still capping the nap, but it was in an hour 15. And she was barely some nights getting even 9 hours of sleep. It would be like 8.5 hours and she'd wake up absolutely miserable, nap for an hour. So like her sleep total over a 24-hour period was like sometimes like 9 or 10 hours and she was miserable.
Yeah, she wasn't like enough.
It wasn't enough for her. And then it would be just a vicious cycle of, oh, she's so tired, she needs to take, I had a hard time waking her up. I'm like, yeah, she's exhausted. She went to bed at 11 o'clock. So it sucked. But now like she's been doing really well. We're actually not having false starts or anything like that with the earlier bedtime. Like, her body clock's adjusted to all of that. And it's been absolutely amazing. And I think she's almost 2.5 now, just about. So, I mean, she probably could have dropped the nap earlier. I know my oldest dropped her nap again around 2.5 pretty consistently as well. And they're both very low, low sleep needs kiddos, but yeah. It can be normal if your child does have lower sleep needs. However, it is really normal around that 2-year mark to go through that developmental progression where they start pushing the boundaries and like, no, I'm not going to nap right now. So I think it is really important to continue to offer it. And that's what we have been doing for this past week, is I've been offering the nap around 1. And then, you know, if she's not settling down and doesn't want to go to sleep, then I'm like, okay, you're not tired? No, mommy, I'm not tired. Okay, cool. So we get up and just kind of continue about our day. Like, I do like to offer, but not push it. And then I know a lot of families too, they will opt for a quiet time in place of the nap. I think this can be a good thing if it's not forced upon children. Like, if it's just part of your routine, I don't think necessarily like doing the whole separation thing is really necessary. I know some families are like, okay, you're going in your room for an hour and doing quiet activities. I mean, if you have a more easygoing child, like, you can probably build up to that. Personally, our quiet time is a little bit of screen time.
So, yeah, same with us. I mean, that's our downtime. So it really depends on what your, you know, what your family goals are, what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with. I feel like you said that forced separation. It's tough though to think about some family situations, but think about like your 2-year-old's not napping and then like you work from home and you need that nice long nap in the middle of the day for your toddler and they're refusing that nap. Like, well, they have to sit in their room quietly. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't think your toddler's going to sit in their room quietly. Yeah. Like, and not, you know, especially if you're supporting them to sleep or they're refusing that nap. Like, I feel like it could be a phase for a lot of toddlers. Like you said, keep offering it. You could try to do a quiet time, but don't make it seem like, you know, it's a bad thing. You have to be locked in your room for an hour by yourself and you have to be quiet. Like, you know, just make it fun or have them do something quietly next to you, you know, whatever your goals are. I feel like we definitely don't agree in like forcing the quiet time separation or like making it seem like they're doing something bad. Like, well, you're not napping, so you have to sit in your room quietly. It kind
and
of
like
is like
lay
a
in your bed.
Time out. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely don't want to force that. I think it's a good idea to offer, like, especially if you really do need that quiet time and you maybe you're not as big on screen time as we are. Having like a basket of, you know, quiet time toys that just come out at that time. And you know, they can be fun options, like, you know, some puzzles. We have a Tony box now, which we're a huge fan of. Those kind of options are also really, really good, and you can kind of gradually work on and on pushing that independent play. However, you might only get 15 minutes when you first start, and maybe eventually you can kind of gradually build on that if your child's happy to do that. I mean, it's really up to the family. I mean, everyone has different boundaries, but I don't know if it would work very well with a highly sensitive child. It might be a struggle. So
For sure.
Depends. Definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
But like you said, it's definitely normal for a two-year-old not to need a nap anymore. I mean, they have those refusals. They might come back. They might nap one day and then not nap for 3 weeks and nap again. You know, it's like, think about it. It's not linear. It's not, you know, it's kind of changing. Like my daughter went back and forth from like 2 to 3, you know, like when she was two up until she was 3, some days she napped and some days she didn't. It was more no naps than naps, but like, if she woke up super early for any reason, like she needed a nap that day or she was going to be miserable. You know, it's like every child's so unique, but I do have to say when we did fully drop the nap, it was beautiful. Just like having, not having to rush home for the nap and not having to like worry about her mood. And she was just like happier. But like we said, we have low sleep needs daughter. So she thrived off of not having
And our
that.
Kids were happy in the evenings. Like that's a big
they
thing
were
too.
Happy.
If your child has fallen apart by 5 o'clock and they need, you know, a reasonable bedtime, I would say it's too soon. And I think a lot of the time people will be like, oh, they refuse the nap a little bit. I'm just going to drop it fully. I'm a huge fan of those bridge naps, like just to get your child through. I think people like to just jump to, I'm going to drop the nap cold turkey. And I don't think that's a good idea. A 10 to 15 minute little pick me up in the middle of the day can really help with your mood in the evening and also avoid a child getting overtired. And that's what we do offer if Luna does need a nap, is we wake her up after 15 minutes with a lollipop in hand because she doesn't want to wake up, but it's a healthy lollipop. So yeah, like it is really helpful. And another thing too with bridge naps is a lot of the time when kids are starting to refuse that nap, they might be pushing it out really late. So we see a lot of situations, it's like they're not going down until 3 o'clock, and then you're offering them like an hour long nap at 3 and they're waking up at 4, and then they're not tired at bedtime and your bedtime's 10 o'clock. So if they do need that nap and they're refusing it, again, like a 10, 15 minute bridge nap at 3 o'clock might keep your bedtime on track as well. And again, avoid that overtiredness. So some options to try, continue to offer, but if it's just not happening, don't sit in a dark room for an hour stressing yourself out, becoming dysregulated, and, you know, creating these negative associations around sleep. We want sleep to be a positive, safe place for your child to go when their body's ready. And we want to always be teaching our children to listen to their bodies. And if their bodies are telling them they're not tired, then we, you know, we don't want to force it. Of course, you know, we do see situations where we have overtired children where they get that cortisol rush and their body's like, I'm tired, so I'm going to release cortisol to keep myself up. So there can be some, you know, hiccups with that, but popping them in the car usually helps the motion to get them to sleep. If they are a little bit overtired, that can be really beneficial. And, you know, there's no such thing as crap sleep. Car nap is still a nap. It's good. The whole point of naps is to release some sleep pressure. That's the only purpose.
Exactly. However you get it, contact, car, stroller, baby carrier, like however you're going to get that nap, do it.
For sure. So one thing I just wanted to touch on is just, again, normal, what kind of normal nighttime sleep looks like, what you can kind of expect. Obviously our first question was around like, you know, is it normal for my toddler to still wake up 2 to 3 times a night? I know technically it is okay for your child to be waking up at night, but if we're seeing really, really frequent wake ups all night long consistently, then, you know, there's likely something off with those foundations, and there are some tweaks that you can make to get better sleep for your family. It doesn't have to be a waited out thing. However, we do always tell family, like, you could do nothing and your child would eventually sleep through the night. They're going to drop that nap. Things will kind of consolidate up as long as there's no medical conditions going on, but it is okay to kind of make changes around that. It is a realistic expectation if your child is set up for optimal sleep, for them to go into a really deep sleep at the beginning of the night, usually when you're seeing your longer stretch, that's a good sign that, you know, they're getting the daytime sleep that they need. The wake windows are on point. If they wake up maybe one or two times for that second half of the night, that is also considered relatively normal and should kind of just go away on its own. If they're super, super restless early morning, attached to the boob, or you're constantly having to resettle them every 10 minutes, or they're only like sleep on top of you, those are usually issues with foundations and just not being properly set up for optimal sleep.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to connect with us beyond the podcast. You can find myself on all social media platforms at moonbay.sleep. And for more parenting and sleepy goodness, hop over to Instagram and follow Eleni at EleniCats. Until next week, keep embracing the chaos and remember, you're doing an amazing job, even if it doesn't feel like it.